Well, praise the Lord. I just want to thank everybody for their enthusiasm and worship. Man, I just felt like God was just pushing and pushing us, and the Spirit of God was just moving. And, you know, we just don't sing songs. We believe that the presence of God comes, and we can enjoy that relationship. So today, I think that we're going to continue in the series I have been starting called Jesus Is. Everyone say Jesus Is. Now, there's a long list, and I would probably say a list to infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear said, that Jesus is to infinity and beyond. But today we're going to look at Jesus Is in the Gospel of Luke. And for a refresher, we looked last week at Jesus Is in the Gospel of Mark. And two things that I pulled out of that message was the fact that there were 18 miracles. Now, Mark is only 16 chapters, but there were 18 miracles that were penned in the book of Mark. And so if we wanted to put Jesus Is in front of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is the miracle worker. He always was, and he always is, and he always will be the miracle worker. He never stops. The signs and wonders and miracles that happened in the book of Acts are still going on today, if not in an even greater measure. Amen? That people are being delivered, more salvations, etc., are going on. And that Jesus has, and we have, say, I have, say it with some enthusiasm, I have power, authority over diseases, demons, and the whole dark world. Thank you, Lord. So, praise God. Huh? Thank you, and he that's in the world, thank you. And the other thing that I wanted to pull out of Mark's gospel was the fact that Jesus is personal. Everyone say personal. Personal Savior and Lord. And, you know, in some realms of Christianity, that verbiage is not liked. And I want to say, what's not to like about it when Jesus looked at Peter and he said, what are people saying about me? Like, he didn't know. Come on, that's hilarious. Jesus asking Peter, what are people saying about me? No, it wasn't for Jesus' sake, it was for Peter's sake, right? So what are people saying about us? Some say this and some say that. And then he said this question, and he says this to people all around the world forever. Who do you say I am? That's personal. And if anybody doesn't think that's personal, they're wrong. Who do you say I am? And he immediately said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the HaMashiach, the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God. That's who you are. Praise the Lord. And he would have said it with vim and vigor. I don't think, oh, I think you're the Savior of the world. No, I think he said it with a full force and a full blast. Hallelujah. Because Peter was not no mamby-pamby, cotton-candy, cheesy Christian, was he? He was in it. So today, we're going to look at Jesus Is in the book of Luke. And I like Luke. It's probably my favorite gospel. John, as we get to in the future, is just a precious, precious gospel also. But in the book of Luke, we're going to look at five different things that just wanted to emphasize. First of all, and second of all, it mentions 87 times in the New Testament the phrase Son of Man. And it mentions 40-some times the Son of God. And so we've got this contrast there of the Son of Man and Son of God that reminds us that Jesus was both God and man in the same being. Difficult for us to understand, but it is true. So, as Jesus is the Son of Man, we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Short, single verse here. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't just roll a bunch of dice out there, hoping that they would come up right. He came to seek and save me. When Jesus died on the cross, I was on his mind. When he died on the cross, you, every one of us in this house, was on his mind. He's capable of that, right? You know why he's capable of it? Because it says he has named the stars. The stars have 10 to the nth power behind them, and he has named every one of them. So if he can name the stars, he certainly knows my name and your name. So when he was on the cross, That's what he was thinking, was our name. Hallelujah. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And then the second verse on that was in Luke chapter 5, verse 24. This is the mother of Jesus, talking about Jesus being the Son of Man. And what you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise and take up your bed. I'm in the wrong verse here. Sorry. I was thinking of something else. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Hallelujah. And when we think about Jesus being the Son of Man, he acknowledged that he was the Son of Man. And what does that also do for you and me? It reminds us that we can walk in the same power that he did, because we're sons of men also. Amen? Hallelujah. Now remember, this story was a story of faith. This story is the one where the four faith-filled buddies picked up their paralyzed buddy and went to the house where Jesus was. Well, it was packed. Ever been to a packed concert and you can't get in? Yeah, I remember those days. And now it's happening with the Passion. They pack it out so much they have to add three more days on. Have 80,000 people nuts over Jesus in Atlanta. But anyway, they wanted to get him in to see Jesus. So one of them climbed up on the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and dropped him down there. And then Jesus, it says, seeing their faith. Because faith is visible. Faith is never quiet, it's never silent. I was talking to somebody one time, and they were sharing with me about their relationship with God. And I said, well, how's your husband doing? He said, well, he's got a quiet faith. And I said, I got a problem with that. I don't think our faith should be quiet. I think our faith ought to be noisy in the proper way. Amen? I think our faith needs to speak. Our faith needs to go in front of us. Hallelujah. All right, so Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God. And in Luke 4:41, this is the one that I was thinking about. Demons also came out of many crying and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now listen, church, if demons know who Jesus is and prophesy it out loud, who should have a louder voice? Us. Amen. Thank you very much. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ, the greater measure. So if we run into any demonic issues, we know that we're above that, not below it. Third thing Jesus says, this is, you guys know this one, this is pretty easy. Jesus is Savior. This is the mother of Jesus. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And in verse 47 says, and my spirit has rejoiced in God. God what? My Savior. So when we rejoice in it, we rejoice because he's mine. Very personal. So in the sects of Christianity that don't like the phrase, have you received Jesus as personal Savior and Lord, if they don't like it, they're the ones with the problem, because it is very scriptural to say personal Jesus. Amen? Okay. Good teaching there. Good word, Mike. All right. Number four. Jesus is the soon and coming King. Come on. We need to be excited about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. We just don't know how soon. And every day that goes by, there you go. Thank you for that enthusiasm back there, Alex. Hallelujah. He raises arms. Yeah, every day that goes by is closer. But we need to keep working hard. Can't sit back. Can't sit in the back seat. Let somebody else drive. We need to be out working. In Luke chapter 21, it says this. And there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars and on the earth, distress and nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them because of fear, the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. Every eye will see. You know, early in my Christian walk, when I read this, it was hard for me to imagine or dream of the whole planet seeing Jesus. But now I don't feel that way anymore. There's 8.5 billion people on the planet, approximately. Guess how many cell phones there are on the planet? 8.5 billion. That means some people have more than one. But the point is, all of a sudden they go, emergency broadcast system, all of a sudden the light clicked on. I'm not saying that's how God's going to use it, but I'm just saying my revelation of understanding how God could show up and every eye see him, all of a sudden changed. Yeah. They'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. It'll be a good day and a bad day. Right? Verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth near. For in the old King James says, draweth nigh. Hallelujah. That's going to be a great and glorious day. Hallelujah. And last but not least, Jesus is the one who marvels at visible faith. I'm going to preface this by saying that there were two times that Jesus marveled. This is the second time he marveled. And we'll look at the verses. But there was another time he marveled, and it says he marveled because of their unbelief. I think it's in the book of Mark. But anyway, it's interesting because there's only two times that Jesus marveled. And we look at the definition of the word marvel, then we'll get into the verses. The word marvel means to be admired, amazed, awe, astonished. The wow factor is marvel. Okay? All right, now let's go into the verses. In Luke chapter 7, we'll read the first 10 verses. Now, when Jesus concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant. Now, What country was this centurion from? Rome. Was Rome Christian? No. It was very demonic, right? So this centurion was of the army of Rome. And the best picture for me that I've gotten about the whole concept of Rome at this time was Nazi Germany. How they hailed Caesar all the time, just like the Germans hailed Hitler. Same way. That's my perspective. If somebody ever wants to correct me on that, that'd be fine. But that's just the way I perceive it. It was all hail Caesar. Caesar was it. Caesar was God to these people, to the Romans. And they were terrorized. They were awful. And so here we got this centurion. And first you think, really? Well, watch what we see here. There was a certain centurion servant who was dear to him and was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, Come on. We can't quit talking about Jesus. Amen? He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. He was desperate. Sometimes people have to be desperate to come to Christ. Remember that. Verse 5. For he loves our nation. They're talking about the centurion. And he has built us a synagogue. So this Roman centurion, that would be like one of Hitler's thugs building a church to Jesus Christ. Doesn't make sense, does it? But there was a heart change. There was something different about this centurion. And Jesus went with him, and he was already not far from the house, and the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you come even enter under my roof. What a humble heart that was. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. Say the word. Say that with me. Say the word. If you pray for somebody, say it out loud. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Talk about faith. That was visible faith. For I am also a man placed under authority. This guy had a great revelation of authority. Now, I remember years ago, Kenneth Copeland preaching on the authority of the believer. And man, I ate those tapes up. Back in cassette tapes. I ate those tapes up because we have that authority. The authority of the believer. It's awesome. For I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and they go, and another, come, and they come, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. That's a simple understanding of authority. Who's the boss? Right? Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Everyone say marvel. He was astonished. He was amazed. He was, can I use the word, blown away? Huh? That'd be a good one. He was blown away. Jesus was blown away and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Stay right there. He just put Israel in their place right there, didn't he? The entire country. These are supposed to be devout people who are waiting for the Messiah to come for centuries, 4 centuries, something like that, waiting for the Messiah to come, and then he comes and they don't want to accept it. Amazing. I've not found such great faith. See, because religion doesn't get you anywhere. Faith will get you where you need to go. Somebody should say amen and shout on that one. It's not about religion, it's about faith. It's about relationship. Come on. Verse 10. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So the centurion had enough faith to believe that just Jesus speaking the healing would bring healing. Amen? And so as we look at that, I want to be like, I don't care about anything else in my life. I want to be like that. I want to be like that guy that's got the faith. It's an unfeigned, unadulterated, powerful faith. That when I pray, it happens. I want that above anything else. I pray for somebody to get healed of cancer. They're healed of cancer. Somebody gets prayed of different diseases. Raise the dead. Come on. Cleanse the lepers. Heal the sick. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said to do? We got to want that. So I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to leave you with this question. How big is your want to? How big is your want to? I've said that for years. How big is your want to? Is your want to big to pray for people? Is your want to big to share the gospel with people? Is your want to big to change the kingdom of God in somebody's life? What's more wonderful, Shannon, than you sharing Jesus with some little 13-year-old chick that's been beat up by her parents, and you say, would you like to receive Jesus? Yeah, I really would. And she received Jesus right on the spot. That means everything to you and to the people around you. Yeah. What's that mean when right on this floor we had a youth concert, and there was a girl that started to shake. I knew it was a demon. She fell down on the ground and went down there and cast out one, and she quit shaking and thought, well, that'll be it. No, she started shaking again and bent down, spoke into her ear, and it cast out another demon, and she quit shaking, and then she started shaking again. I go, I guess there's another one. I go, three times I had to bend down, and actually on my hands and knees, and prophesied into her ear, you're free of this. You're free. Jesus is bigger than all these demons. Then she finally got up and set free. She called my daughter the next night and said, you won't believe what happened in your church last night. I got set free of 3 demons. Yeah, it happens. Come on. Come on, let's do this. Let's cast out demons. Let's heal the sick. Give sight to the blind. Come on. Share the gospel and see kids, people transform. What's great? I love Joe. He talks about seeing people transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in front of his eyes. Yeah, that's our passion. It should be our passion. Carry with us. Hallelujah. So Jesus is. Jesus is worth it all. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's our personal Savior. He's the soon and coming King. And He wants to marvel at our faith. Amen? Let's stand. Lord, I believe there's a fresh anointing for us here today. We may not many, but we can, you know, the world was turned upside down by 11 and 12. So, Father, I just pray that each one of us would receive that anointing that fresh anointing, Father, for a passion for the gospel, for a passion for the works of the kingdom, Father, for a passion for the dying and lost, oh Lord, for the hurting and the lame, that, God, we would never move away from that passion, Lord, and that it would just get stronger and stronger and stronger each and every day. Father, I pray that each one of us would have a revival of our prayer lives, of daily prayer, that we would have a revival of our desire to pray for people, and Lord, to believe you for better things and bigger things, God, and that fresh anointing would come. And so by faith we receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and it will go forth from this message today, this house of God today, Lord, stronger, hungrier, and wanting more of you. And for that we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen and amen and amen. So God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.
Hallelujah.